Next we have Patrick Canet, C-A-N-E-T, 1650644.
Good morning, Your Honor. Jeff Hartman on behalf of Mr. Canet.
Good morning, Your Honor. Steve Abelman of the law firm Brownstein, Hyatt, Farber, Schreck on behalf of Jed Margolin.
And this is an application for recognition of the Chapter 15. This is the case that's in France, is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor. If I may, to begin with, when the case was filed, there was a glitch in the filing system.
Oh.
And I've talked with Ms. Gallagher about this. The case shouldn't be designated as Mr. Canet because he's the foreign representative who's seeking the order in this court.
This would be for Mr. Zandian?
Yes.
Okay.
So, as a technical, and I spoke with them regarding the issuance of the summons, and we got that straightened out. And I've read the opposition filed by counsel, and the court should hear from him, but I think, based upon what's in the opposition, my request would be to treat this as a status hearing and put burden on me to obtain an order from the court in Paris as to the status of that case and whether or not, in fact, the intention of that court is that Mr. Zandian is also in a Chapter 15 in Paris. I cannot represent to you, Your Honor, that that is, in fact, the case. So that's my position on behalf of Mr. Canet as the representative of the Chapter 15 that's pending in Paris.
As opposed to Mr. Zandian, who should be actually the named debtor for the cross-border insolvency.
Right, and the point taken in the opposition, I mean, it's, I understand the point, and that is that Mr. Canet was originally appointed in the computer world bankruptcy case, if that's what they call it, or liquidation proceeding in Paris. I cannot answer the question, honestly, today, whether or not there has been a proceeding in Paris that was for the purpose of having the cross-border insolvency rules apply to Mr. Zandian individually as well.
Okay.
And if the court considers my request, I would suggest that the burden be on me to provide information sometime in July, because in my past experience dealing with anybody in France in the month of August, it's almost impossible.
That's vacation month.
That's vacation
month. In most
month.
Of Europe, isn't it?
Yes. Okay. And so
they have a better system.
Yeah, they have a different system.
Mr. Margolin?
Thank you.
Sir?
I don't think he's Mr. Margolin.
I'm sorry, I apologize.
It's Steve Abelman on behalf
Mr.
of
Mr. Abelman. My bad.
Your Honor, I've traveled here from Colorado, and with your indulgence, I'd like to take the opportunity to elaborate upon Mr. Margolin's position without duplicating the materials that we filed.
Certainly. Please go ahead.
Gollum Reza Zandian is a clever and practiced in the art of deception. His actions over the last 8.5 years, which I will highlight, reflect an astounding lack of respect for the United States judicial system. He ignores court orders and discards his counsel as it suits his needs. That is why we implore this court to zealously guard the integrity of the judicial system with regard to this Chapter 15 filing. Now, I want to be abundantly clear. While I believe Mr. Zandian is behind this Chapter 15 filing, nothing I say is intended to impugn the integrity of Mr. Hartman.
Thank you.
I have no reason to believe that he is a knowing participant in what I believe is a fraud, is an attempt to perpetrate a fraud upon the court. And again, Mr. Zandian has a long history of utilizing attorneys for his own purpose. While Chapter 15 is designed to provide a mechanism for dealing with transnational insolvency cases, its purpose is primarily to encourage cooperation where assistance is sought in the United States by a foreign court or a foreign representative in connection with a foreign proceeding. And I would bring this court's attention to the definition of foreign proceeding, which is found at 11 U.S.C. Section 101, sub 23. And there's primarily three elements. There must be a collective judicial or administrative proceeding in a foreign country.
Is that the case here?
I would submit no.
Okay. So explain that to me if you would.
If I may just finish the definition,
sure.
I'll come back and raise that point as you requested. So there needs to be a collective judicial or administrative proceeding in a foreign country, number one. Two, under a law relating to insolvency or adjustment of debt. I'm not sure about whether that applies. And three, in which proceeding the assets and affairs of the debtor are subject to the control or supervision by a foreign court for the purpose of reorganization or liquidation. So, quite simply, these defined elements are not supported by the materials we have, and I think Mr. Hartman has acknowledged that today. Element number one is the foreign proceeding. So our position is there's no evidence of a pending administrative or judicial proceeding in France for Zandian. The judgment is a judgment for the outside, out of an insolvency of Computer World. And apparently Zandian was a principal of Computer World. But there is not, to our knowledge, a pending insolvency action for Zandian. There is evidence that 18 years ago, Mr. Kinney obtained a judgment against Zandian on behalf of Computer World. And that judgment was for upwards of 20 million francs. And as my papers pointed out, there's no bank that even deals in the currency of francs. That ended 4 or 5 years ago.
Maybe coming back, depending on the Brexit election day.
Well, actually, Great Britain has always
maintained
their
own
currency. But France did not. France went to the euro. So then element number three, there's no support that there is currently or there has ever been a French proceeding in which the Nevada assets owned by Zandian, and then this is the quote from the definition, are subject to control or supervision by a French court for the purpose of reorganization or liquidation. So the assets, there are assets that are in play that's real property in this state. And my point is that none of these assets have ever been part of any liquidation proceeding that we are aware of in France. Now, the objection that I filed references Zandian's role in forging documents, attempted bribery, fraudulent conveyance. These provide the court with some perspective of what Zandian is capable and why this petition must be subjected to a greater than normal scrutiny. And what I'd like to do is just summarize the context that this Chapter 15 arises.
Please.
Okay. So the initial lawsuit was in the United States District Court for the District of Arizona before Judge Rainer Collins, and it was case number CV-00588. And in December 2007, Reza Zandian forged patent assignment documents, which were then filed with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office.
Forged hat designer patents?
He forged patent assignment documents.
I'm sorry.
So documents that purported to assign a patent that belonged to Mr. Margolin or his entities. And he filed it with the U.S. Patent Office to reflect that the patents were assigned to entities controlled by Zandian. That resulted in litigation, which culminated in a judgment against the Zandian entities in August of 2008. So that was lawsuit number one. Lawsuit number two is here in Nevada. And it's case number 09-OC-00579. And it's in front of Judge James Russell, First Judicial District.
Oh, okay.
And I would like this court to take judicial notice of it, of this case and its pleadings. And I have a docket sheet here.
Could I please say that? I apologize. I can't get to my docket here. So
okay.
Do you have this? Okay. Could you give a copy for Mr. Have you shot
yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Yeah. Please mark this. So
yes.
I'm just going to mark this as an exhibit to this hearing so I can keep track of it.
So if I may take a few
just
minutes.
Just 1 second. Go ahead and mark it. Go ahead and mark it if you need to. Okay, thanks. All right, thank you. Okay, go ahead.
I just want to take you through the highlights.
Sure.
As you can see that In March of 2011, as a result of the litigation in Arizona, Mr. Margolin initiated a lawsuit here pursuing Mr. Zandian for damages. And in March of 2011, he obtained a default judgment against Zandian.
Okay. That's 3-1-11, is that correct?
Yes.
All right.
In June, Zandian filed a motion to dismiss on special appearance, claiming improper service because he no longer resided at an address that had been provided in Fair Oaks, California.
And who did he file that pro se or did he have a counsel?
He had counsel.
Who was his counsel?
His counsel was John Peter Lee, who I think is now deceased.
He is.
So the court granted in part that motion and entered an order setting aside the default but denying the motion to dismiss and granting an extension of time for service. But
that was the motion to serve by publication, is that correct?
It resulted in that.
Okay.
So that was in August, and then Mr. Zandian's counsel, Mr. Lee, declined to accept service of process and declined to provide an address. So Mr. Margolin went back to the court and asked permission to serve by publication. The court granted that in September of 2011.
1 second. Okay. 9/27/11, correct?
Right. The following March, law firm number one, Mr. Lee, filed a motion to withdraw. And in the motion to withdraw, he provided a San Diego address for Zandian. And ultimately, on October 31st of 2012, default judgment again entered against Zandian.
Okay, what was the date again? I'm sorry.
I believe it's October 31st of 2012.
Lots of activity before, in the interim. So October 31st, is that the judgment?
Default judgment, yes.
Okay.
Right, and I'm not going to bore you with all the excruciating detail, but just the highlights.
All right.
In about a year, and a year and a quarter later, December of 2013, law firm number two filed a motion to set aside the default judgment.
And what law firm was that?
Your Honor, I don't have that in my notes.
That's okay.
But they filed a motion to set aside default judgment number 2, maintaining that the address provided by Mr. Lee was inaccurate.
But there wasn't any address provided by Mr. Lee.
And he provided an address when he filed his motion to withdraw.
Okay,
because
I see.
As you know, when you file a motion to withdraw, you have to certify that you have informed.
Notify your account, your client.
So yeah. That's the address that he utilized, a San Diego address.
Okay.
But he had previously declined to provide an address for service or accept service process. So law firm number 2 filed a motion to set aside the default, claiming that the San Diego address was no good. At the same time, Mr. Margolin obtained documents from third parties through the discovery process, through banks, showing that Zambian maintained the San Diego address at least through January of 2013. At the same time, he was claiming that he was getting checks and banks were sending correspondence to him at the San Diego address at the very time that he was moving to set aside the default judgment, claiming he had never received pleadings that were sent to that.
And that would be Mr. Margolian's opposition to motion to set aside of January 9th, 14. Is that where that would
yes.
be?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
In January of 2014, the court, the Honorable Russell, Judge Russell, entered an order granting Mr. Margolin's motion for a debtor's exam and to produce documents.
Okay.
And it required Zambian to show up on February 11th. Mr. Zambian did not show up for his debtor's exam, and Mr. Zambian did not provide any documents.
So there was in, I'm guessing, that's not, I mean, that date is not on the docket, but there was a motion for contempt that was filed February 12th. Would that be where that's detailed?
Yes.
Okay.
In the interim, law firm number 2 withdrew.
All right.
Law firm number 3 is Kempfer Crowe.
Right.
In February of 2014, Kempfer Crowe filed an appeal of the order denying the motion to set aside a default and also opposed the pending motion to show cause why Mr. Zambian shouldn't be held in contempt.
Okay.
8-9 months later, in October of 2015, the Supreme Court for this state affirmed the district court on Zambian's appeals.
Hang on for 1 second. It's October, you said?
October 19th of 2015.
Okay, hang on, let me get to that. Nevada Supreme Court, order of affirmance of the default judgment, basically. And the order of affirming fees.
Right.
Okay.
I know we're skipping around here, but
that's quite all right.
In December of 2015, law firm number 3, Kempfer Crowe, filed its motion to withdraw.
Okay.
Now, I just want to bring your attention, and I have a copy of the motion to withdraw, which I'm happy to share with you. It says, in this case, defendant has not only substantially failed to fulfill his obligations to Kempfer Crowe regarding his services, but also insists upon taking action that the lawyer considers to be repugnant or with which the lawyer has a fundamental disagreement. Probably should have been and with rather than or with, but and so, Your Honor, I have a copy of that.
Do you have a copy for Mr. Hartman? We'll mark this as Exhibit 2. And I'm going to leave these as Exhibits 2 with my notes on them, which are just basically check marks. But did I see this?
Yes, Your Honor.
Let me take a look. Give me a moment.
And the quote is on page 3, line 18 through 22.
Okay. Okay, and the repugnancy language is on line 7 and 8. Okay?
Yes. And, yeah, it's on 7 and 8 and 18 through 22.
Okay.
Okay, so that's December 2015. Fast forward, February 2016. Judge Russell issues an order holding Mr. Margolin. It's a warrant of arrest.
For Mr. Margolin?
I'm sorry. It's for Mr. Zandian.
Okay. That makes
sense. With regard to failure to appear. And I have a copy of that, if I can.
I'd like to see that. I'm unfamiliar with, I know there's such a thing as a writ of civil arrest, but I don't think I've ever seen one.
On May 3rd, 2016, Mr. Margolin filed a motion to avoid deeds. And that's that.
I don't think I have that.
I
only go through 3, 4, 16.
3, 4.
Yeah, the last thing I have says order dispositional.
Oh, I believe it's a separate action. It's appended to my objection.
Okay.
As an exhibit.
Just wait a second. I can't pull that up. Could we see his objection? Do I have this here? Okay. Sorry. Pardon my. All right. It's as exhibit 3, you said?
I didn't say.
I think it's exhibit B.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Exhibit A. So, Mr. Hartman, I just have a question.
Yes, Your Honor.
Who have you been retained by in this?
Mr. Kinnett. I pronounce it Kinnett.
Well, let me ask you this. You suggested at one point in your earlier argument that Mr. Zandian does not have property in the state of Nevada?
No, he does.
Yeah, okay.
Well, he has property that he has
transferred to somebody else
to his
improperly.
Family and friends.
Okay.
And that's the subject of the motion to void deeds.
I've never seen the term dirtied title before either.
I had never either, so I just assumed it was a part of the vernacular in this state. I'm
thankfully not yet.
I'll have to ask my co-counsel, my colleague, where he came up with that.
Okay.
Okay, so the motion to void deeds was filed by Mr. Margolin. So he's been chasing after Zandian for now 8.5 years, and he's located property that Mr. Zandian owned in Nevada for up to 10 years.
Now, let me ask you this. Has he filed a lis pendens against the property?
I don't specifically know.
He probably ought to do that if hasn't.
I would agree.
Okay.
Now, this is what's very suspicious. The Chapter 15 petition was filed on May 19th, really 2 weeks after the motion to void deeds was filed. So you have this judicial liquidator, this purportedly Mr. Canet, in France, who has done nothing that we know of, that we can find, to further collection efforts against Zandian in Nevada for 18 years, even though Zandian was on title to property here for over 10 years. And then 2 weeks after we filed this action, the Chapter 15 is filed. And it seems extremely suspicious. Now, Mr. Hartman acknowledged earlier that there are some questions that he agreed that he would take the burden of answering. I would suggest that the questions may be a little bit more far-reaching, and it would help all concerned to have these questions answered. And that would include, is the judgment, the Chapter 15 proceeding is premised upon what the English translation says, judgment of 3 April 1998. So question number one, is that still viable under French law?
Or even U.S. law.
Or even U.S. law, right. Two, is there a French insolvency proceeding pending with regard to Zandian? Or is it merely a judgment that Mr. Canet is trying to collect against Zandian, in which case he should have no higher priority than any other judgment creditor? Is there a French insolvency proceeding wherein the real estate in this state is being administered? I don't know French insolvency law.
Nor do I, and I don't speak French, so that's going to be more of a problem.
I speak un peu, a little, not enough to be able to be of any utility. But you would think that there would be some schedules, some pleadings that referenced what assets of Zandian are being administered in that action. So there should be some pleadings that are less than 18 years old and better yet current, docket sheets, schedules, that shows both that Zandian is a debtor in that, not just a judgment debtor, but part of an insolvency proceeding. And two, that insolvency proceeding somehow incorporates the assets in the real property that is the subject of the of the current motion to void liens.
Okay.
So that those are the questions that we believe need to be answered by this court for a Chapter 15 to proceed. And just to clarify, if Mr. Kinney just wants to participate in litigation in this state as a judgment creditor, then we don't necessarily oppose that as long as Mr. Kinney is who he purports to be. We're not trying to prevent him from exercising whatever rights he may have as a judgment creditor. What we're trying to prevent is that somehow our action to recover assets fraudulently conveyed is stopped by a Manchurian bankruptcy.
Okay.
Thank you.
I have a couple questions. Just I'm trying to sort through this. Do we know, Mr. Hartman, do you know if Mr. Kinney has a judgment?
I cannot personally tell, Your Honor.
Fine.
The answer to that question.
That I understand. And I actually can't get to my docket, so I can't look at it. But the only other cross-border insolvency case I had, I got some pleadings from Her Majesty's Court in Canada, which incidentally had the world's biggest stamp on it of authenticity. Maybe not the world's biggest, but it certainly was the biggest one I've ever seen. Is there anything similar in this case that we have?
The only thing that I have in my possession is the English and French document that I attached to the petition.
Okay. You may well be right. I'm going to give Mr. Hartman some time to figure out where he stands. I mean, he may be as much of a victim of this individual as anybody else, Mr. Zandian, but I'm going to continue this for 30 days. I will make a decision at that point. Mr. Hartman, I'm sorry.
Sure, Your Honor, and thank you. And I think that's probably the first time the Manchurian bankruptcy term has been coined. And
first that I've heard, but then
counsel with that term.
Dirtyizing property here is also a first for me.
I've written down the questions that Mr. Abelman presented that should be answered. And let's assume for a moment that everything he has said about Mr. Zandian is accurate. And knowing Judge Russell as I do, I believe there's probably a legitimate basis for everything that Judge Russell did.
Judge Russell was Mr. Hartman's brother's partner for 30 years.
For many, many years. And the only, what I'd like to place on the record and draw the court's attention to is docket entry 5. I know you don't have your docket up.
I'm sorry.
And it would be pages 11 and 12. And it's, and I don't know what terminology to use for this, but it says at the bottom of docket entry, page 11, the court may open judicial reorganization or liquidation proceedings with regard to managers whose liability, etc. Whereas the court considers it appropriate to apply the provisions of the above-mentioned text of law and to open judicial liquidation proceedings against Mr. Zandian with all the legal consequences thereof. I cannot tell you if that in fact happened at the contemporaneous at the time that this order was entered, but I owe it to Your Honor and to Mr. Abelman and his client to find out that information, which I will do. So I will communicate with my co-counsel in Paris very shortly and pose these questions and ask them to produce whatever documentation they have that either supports Mr. Kinney's position with respect to Mr. Zandian or not. And I will file it with the court and certainly provide counsel with a copy. And if there's no further need for a hearing, then I certainly don't want one.
Certainly.
But I don't have enough information to inform Your Honor about the status of the proceeding in Paris.
Okay. So what do we have in about 30 days? I'm assuming it's not going to be, well, I know that the French also do electronic transmission of stuff, I'm guessing, but it usually takes more than a day or two to get information from people from courts. So 30 days.
Your Honor, we could do August 10th in the afternoon, and I'll block the rest of the afternoon.
Okay.
At 2 p.m. We have a couple motions. We have yellow cab confirmation, but that'll probably be confirmed. So
August what?
10th. It's a Wednesday at 2 p.m., and we'll block the afternoon for you.
What I would propose, Your Honor, is that I have a deadline in advance of that date so that Mr. Abelman doesn't have to make arrangements to come.
No. So let's set your response date 7 days prior. I know that's a little short, but you can respond to that. Obviously, if there's nothing going to happen or nothing you need to add, Mr. Abelman, you can certainly appear by phone. I don't want you running around for no purpose, even though Nevada is a lovely place. So given the what you've told us about Mr. Sandian, it may well be that we don't ultimately need a hearing, but let's set the hearing then. Let's set your response 7 days prior to the hearing. You can file your opposition, if any, 1 day prior to the hearing, but 2 days prior to the hearing, so all of us have a chance to look at it. So that would be Monday prior to the hearing that you would need to file it. And we'll just go from there.
And, Your Honor, if I can get the answers to these questions much sooner than that, I'll certainly provide them. And if there's no need for a hearing, I'll certainly let the court know.
And I certainly can't tell from what we've got whether or not there is a French judicial proceeding or not, because I don't know enough about French insolvency law, and I don't read French.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. You'd think there'd be some sort of stamp.
Some sort of what?
Some sort of seal or stamp, like the British do. Maybe the French aren't as good at stamping as the British.
Well, and they need to learn from the Canadians, right?
And they need to learn from the Canadians, who really don't consider themselves British, but they seem like they are.
Or French.
Thank you very much for coming. Hope the trip wasn't too difficult for you. So thank you. Nice having you here. And I'll see you guys in about a month.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you much.